Blue Apron, take back dinner.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to The Liars Club. I'm Felicia Michaels.
And I'm Jessica Wellington.
And what we do here at The Liars Club is we have two of our comedy pals come on. We ask them to tell two stories. One is a truth and one is a lie. And then we try to figure out which one is the lie. For everybody that's listening to this instead of watching it on YouTube, know that we do stream live from the Comedy Store's YouTube Mondays at 4:30-ish and most Fridays at 8:30-ish. Although today is a Thursday, we have a special podcast today. Jessica, please introduce our guests.
I would love to. This woman, hey, you guys, your mic's on in there, buddy Rose. Hey, Michael, gotcha, thank you. this lady to my left here, she is a comedian, actress, producer, and writer. She appeared in two specials in 1 month on HBO and Showtime. She's in the film Comedian with Robert De Niro. You can catch her right now on the Tiffany Haddish's Netflix show, They Ready. You've seen her on Comedy Central, NBC's Last Comic Standing, Finals, Fox Laughs, and Nickelodeon's Mom's Night Out. This is Ida Rodriguez.
Right. Wow. Welcome to the show, Ida.
Thank you. That was a very, intro.
I think you probably came up with it, most of it.
Mm.
Who, me?
No? Yeah.
No.
I want to reset.
I don't have that much self-esteem. Somebody else did that for sure.
I just want to say I watched the thing on Netflix with Tiffany Haddish, and I just thought your set was freaking outstanding.
Thank you.
Really wonderful. Like, just so heartfelt and so, like, who you are 100% without apologies, and I loved it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Very humbling. Thank you.
And our next guest, Jessica?
Yes. He is a New York actor, comedian, and funny home video enthusiast.
Oh, dear.
Oh, my God. Really? That's what you're going to start really? Off with? Holy shit.
Michael was so happy that you were going to be on the show because of a funniest home video.
I only did it for drug money.
You may have heard him on Sirius XM show Tell Me Everything. That's his show. He's been on Just for Laughs Festival, HBO US Comedy Arts Festival. You may remember him from Coyote Ugly or Price Check or all over the news.
I've been killed on CSI.
CSI. His film Dream On is about a road trip to search of the American dream.
This is like, what's my blood type?
Yeah. But he's already living the American dream because he's interviewed Beyonce.
Yes,
wow. This is John Fugelsang.
Yes.
Thank you, John Fugelsang. Thank you so much for joining us.
Half of that are lies.
Yeah. So now, John, your XM show got moved time slot wise, right? Is it still under the same name, or is it a whole
same
different
name.
Channel?
Yeah, we relaunched 2 weeks ago. I've been working for a couple years on the Insight channel, which was sort of like NPR with better dick jokes. And then they asked me if I would go to the Progress channel evenings. So we launched 2 weeks ago. I didn't know if it would work, but the comedians like coming and being funny 9 to midnight a lot more than in the afternoon. And
right.
Pete Townsend was our first guest.
Oh, wow.
It was really a riot. We've already had Dan Rather and Robbie Robertson and Kathleen Turner and Judd Apatow and Jeff Garlin. A lot of fun people have already
You
done.
Have wow. the best guests on yeah. your show,
well,
for
I've,
sure.
Well, I've had you, so there you go.
Well,
let's just say you still want us?
The great thing about Sirius, I've done like so many TV shows, but at Sirius, I get total control and I never have to interview anyone I don't want. It's never like, now next, the stars of Vampire Diaries. Nothing against them. But
right.
You know,
right.
So it's really cool. We're real snobs, and we turn down a lot of the people they send.
Well, you certainly do have great guests. And just so that you guys know out there, to my right is our on-air producer, Austin Walker. He will be taking questions if you're playing along live with us. I know this is an unusual time slot that we usually do, but we're so excited that you guys could make it. Please play along. And over there in the sound booth, right there, is Michael Evans. Put yourself on camera, Michael. Give
Hello,
a wave.
Everybody. I'm on camera, baby.
There you go.
I'm holding it down.
Our buddy Jason Marino is already here, and he says that this already sounds like a lie from John Fugelsang. So. Off to a good start.
I know. It is going to be interesting to see who is the... We've been kind of talking about it. Who do you think is going to be a better liar, John or Ida? John or Ida? I say John.
No, I say Ida.
Yeah. For no other reasons, just then, you know, why not?
Well, I am a white cis male, so you shouldn't trust me to begin with, but what kind of a liar would I be if I told you I was going to be the best liar today?
Right, that's
not
very
me.
True.
It's so awkward. Oh, my God.
But Ida has kids, like, you know, teenage kids, and I think she knows how to lie.
Yeah,
I had to lie about them. I hid a pregnancy from my mom because I thought she was going to murder me.
How long did you hide your pregnancy for?
6 months.
6 months?
Yeah. Mm.
Wow. Yeah. And then did she eventually like, what's up, girl? Was she like?
No, I had to tell.
Really?
Yeah.
That must have been terrible.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. Well, anyway, you have two of the most beautiful children on the planet.
Yes.
They're pretty good looking and smart and very cool chicks and a gentleman. So let's move on. We're going to do our stories. I think we should start with John. And before you tell the story, just know that this podcast is brought to you by Blue Apron. Take back dinner. There you go, John.
Okay. Now, just one or two?
You're going to tell a story, and then we're going to rotate it, Ida, then you, then Ida, and then we're going to vote at the end.
Oh, my. Well, okay, everything I say is absolutely true. I want to get that out of the way.
Okay.
Every story I tell will be true. A couple of years ago, this really happened. I was I was a young VJ, my first broadcasting job, and they would send me on the road a lot, and one time they sent me to Farm Aid. And I got to see
the original, the how many times did they do Farm Aid?
They've done like 20 Farm Aids.
I've heard of Live Aid. What is Farm Aid?
Farm Aid started in the 80s because Bob Dylan did Live Aid and was pretty much incoherent. But at one point he said, they should do something like this for the farmers. And then Willie Nelson and Neil Young and John Mellencamp all got together and started these concerts. And everyone's done them over the years. And the nice thing about being a VJ was I'd never traveled. And so they flew me all over. And I got to go to Kentucky. To go to Farm Aid, and
Was it the first one?
No, it wasn't. Okay. No, I was not. I'm not that elderly. But it was, and it was a year that it was the 90s. It was like Dave Matthews Band and Hootie y Los Blowfish and you know Neil Young, and Neil Young was great, and I got to go on Willie Nelson's trailer. I had to interview him. And he's done my show a few times on Sirius XM. So this was the first time I ever met him. And he was incredible. This was the trailer that got pulled over and they were arrested on him. And when we were done with the shoot and the interview and talking about the plight of farmers, he invited me. Well, first it was Paul, his bass player. And then he invited, who's no longer with us. And then Willie said, you want to stick around? And my producer left. She was lovely and she left. And I said, I'm just stay here and talk some more, get some stories. And I'm proud to say I was very young. I got baked.
I was going to say you had to smoke weed with Willie Nelson.
But it was so baked with Willie Nelson. It was, and I come from like a spiritual background. My parents were both in the clergy. That's really true. You know that. I'm not.
Right.
And,
you know, that part is true.
Have you ever played a clergyman on TV?
I've played pedophiles. But
same thing.
Only in my Tinder account. It was like the first time I had ever... I had gotten high with someone that I respected. And when you're high with Willie Nelson and you're in your 20s, the whole thing is just completely surreal. And I babbled incoherently to him and I was so embarrassed. I had all the Catholic guilt in my entire life. And after a couple hours, I said to him, I really got too chatty. It's just, I grew up with you. I love you. And I was talking about his Spirit album and, you know, and he hugged me and he said, God doesn't want you to feel bad about yourself. And like I never got to tell him, but he healed everything from junior high school in that moment.
Oh,
he healed everything from junior high school in that moment.
You're taking it a little too far on that.
it was amazing. This was Farm Aid. It was in the 90s in Lexington, Kentucky.
Did he have braids?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were very long. Yeah. Uh-huh. His whole family was there too. Like Lucas was very young then, but he was touring with his family.
Did you smoke pot with him in front of his family?
No, but I mean, I'm sure he does.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like Paul English, with the bass player was there and a lot of the roadie guys were there.
So was it joints or was it like a one hitter?
It was all pipes. No, he had a big.
Now, Willie Nelson is about blunt.
No, not on the bus. No. It was a big, a big bowl, like a fruit bowl, but it was filled with buds. And he always says people just give it to him. He's never paid for it anywhere in his life. And so he just had a gigantic bowl and there were little clay pipes everywhere. Like they just stock up on pipes for the tour.
And
he was arrested in the town where I'm from.
Yes, he was.
Dudley, North Carolina. He came to do a concert. They knew what they were getting with Willie Nelson.
Pulled him over.
They pulled him over and arrested him.
By the way, for weed.
Yeah.
God, who produces it around the world, is still at large, but they got Willie Nelson for it.
Wow, I have so many questions. Like, how many bowls of weed do you think you smoked with Willie?
Oh God, at least five. But it wasn't just him. There was like six other guys. It was all men.
So just like one little bowl?
No, it was like six, one bowl.
I know,
bowl
but
six
if there's
times,
five then, guys, then
no,
it's
there
just,
were multiple pipes.
Oh, multiple yeah. pipes. Okay. Multiple
and can they be big pipes? They can be bigger, can't they?
They weren't, but I mean, sure they can. Yeah. No, I mean, okay. they were just like average sized, you know, stuff you see at a head shop.
And how long did this...
Cheap and disposable is if you need to throw out the window because you're in North Carolina.
And how long were you in his bus, right? In the bus? Yeah. And how long were you in there while you were getting high?
Oh, like 90 minutes. We talked about the Bible.
Were all the windows closed? So super hot boxed.
Did you steal this from...
I don't remember if the windows were closed.
King of the Hill?
It's also a Toby Keith song, I think.
Yeah, because Hank met Willie Nelson on King of the Hill.
I will say that at one point, the Hootie and the Blowfish guys, no, they went, I saw the episode because Bob Dylan was talking to Boomhauer on that episode, right? And they couldn't understand each other.
Oh my God, you might have just called that out, Jessica.
Well, hey,
you can go look it up. This was at Lexington, Kentucky Farm Aid, 1995.
No, we're not allowed to Google. We're not allowed
you can't
to Google
anything.
That's a rule of the game. Okay.
Did you just say Live Aid or Farm Aid?
Farm Aid. Oh,
okay.
Hey, Lexington, Kentucky.
To be fair, Willie Nelson is always rolling around being famous, having a trailer, and smoking weed. Like, isn't this probably a pretty common way to meet him? If
it's
people
not,
do get to spend some time
like
with him?
As years went by, I had that experience with other famous people, but Willie's the one I feel totally comfortable saying it about. Because it was really... Like, I talk about religion a lot, but this was like a spiritual lifting experience of just like, you meet one of your heroes and you're a moron, but then he says one thing that just makes you forgive yourself.
Yeah.
Were you a regular pot smoker?
That's what I was going to ask. Good question.
Because all that spiritual lifting might have just been, you were wrecked, man.
No. I don't doubt it was a higher quality than they had in New York City at the time. But no, it was not new to me.
So did you make an ass of yourself at any point?
I thought I did, but I think he wanted to talk. I told him about my parents' background. My mom was a nun and my father was a Franciscan, and he was fascinated by that. And so we talked about God and we talked about like Jesus as this rebel figure versus the Jesus that the fundamentalists push. And I was like, you should write songs about that because you're a guy who can sell that Jesus was a rebel and that he wasn't a conservative and that he was, you know, like not anti-gay and not anti-sex. You could sell that to conservative folks with the right songs.
Is Franciscan somebody from San Francisco?
No. Not even close.
Hate to admit that I had the same
question. Yeah, no, they changed that.
They're so cute, aren't they?
Franciscans were an order from Ireland that came to New York in the 1800s and built schools. So my dad wore the Jedi robes. You know, and taught history to Catholic boys.
Like priests.
Yeah, they're like priests. They're celibate, but they can't say mass.
And then they settled in Northern California, where San Francisco comes from.
Ida, you can ask questions too, by the way.
I'm in awe of the story. I believe the story.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, I do.
It was just, like Willie Nelson is, it's a punchline, him and cannabis, kind of. But like that experience at the time, it was really, really special because he is such a genuine, real.
Yeah,
he's done my show. He's been on the radio show.
One of the country singers who don't look like they secretly belong to the KKK.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, you're right there.
He sang at Jimmy Carter's convention. I mean, he's the real deal. And you know, and we talked about how Jesus was anti-death penalty, but never anti-abortion. And he really got off on talking about that.
Now, the other guys that were around him, his band members, were they kissed up to him?
Quite the opposite. Yeah,
oh, really?
Exactly. Yeah. I don't think he'd respect them.
How tall is Willie compared to you?
He comes up to my shoulder up here.
Yeah.
I saw one of his roadie guys on the picker show. They picked his house and he had a lot of Willie Nelson stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and he seemed pretty laid back, like a real...
I love that show.
I think he also liked that, like, I was into his music. Like, I knew the Spirit album, and I love his covers, and I think he's bored of just playing the hits, and he got off that, like, somebody under the age of, 30 wanted to talk about his more obscure records and stuff.
It's so funny, because I know you're really into music, so I'm like, this could totally be a lie, because you would be able to reference anything Willie Nelson.
Right.
Yeah.
That doesn't... Oh, so
Spirit
that's,
album.
Don't believe
that's
because of that. Yeah.
That's a good story to start the game off. Do we have anything that people are saying online, Austin?
Ryan Syfax says that he bets that hanging out with Willie is always on John's mind now. To which I would argue probably not after all that weed.
He was wonderful. And his wife is super cool as well.
She was there too?
She was not there that night, but I got to know her subsequently. Okay.
Jason Marino says he can go either way. It's a common thing, like Mike said, but that also makes it easy to lie about. And that's kind of where I'm at too, where it's like, it's kind of everybody wants that story. Yeah.
Somebody I thought in John's it was so position cool, probably has that story. It is very common, yeah.
No, it's a cool story, but it's definitely like a mark of a good player in this game because you're very calm about it. You have references. It's not like a fancy,
well, I'm
crazy
heavily medicated,
story. Yeah. Oh, you are.
Well,
sounds like you. Anyway, all right. Well, let's move on to Ida's first story.
Okay, so this is a story that I feel shame to say, but I'm going to tell it because I want, I got to get it out. So I think about five people who are close to me know that this happened. And I come from Miami where strippers are groomed, right? The Uncle Luke from Two Life Crew was the DJ in my middle school parties, like our school dances.
Really?
Uncle Luke.
Uncle Luke.
Wow. I used to DJ weddings.
Did you? Nothing like...
I don't think you were like Uncle Luke.
I don't think so either, which is funny because that the things that you would learn in middle school is like to pop that coochie. Like, and it was just a very interesting culture because I was raised Seventh-day Adventist. So I was not allowed to wear pants. I didn't wear earrings. I was fascinated by strippers. I've always been fascinated by strippers because they feel so empowered. And
is that how you and Felicia became friends?
No.
No. You know.
Me and Michael laughing through the wall. In there. Yeah.
Although I am in awe of Felicia because she tells her story with humor and confidence. And I feel that because of my religious background, I don't tell the story because I feel shame about it.
You seem like such a badass, though, to be...
Yeah, but you don't know me at home where I was raised by people who were, you know, on Friday nights, the electricity would go off and we were not allowed to turn the electricity back on until the sundown on Saturday.
Wow.
So I...
And not just to save on the electric bill.
No, well, that too, but they said it was for Jesus.
Now, was this on your mother's side?
Yeah, my mom, my grandmother, were Seventh-day Adventists. So I went to school with some of the most popular strippers in Miami who went on to become like these iconic strippers, right? And I always revered them and I secretly desired to do that, but I was not ever confident enough to do it. So I have a friend who's, I call the devil. Like I have a friend that's the angel and a friend that's the devil. And when I lived in, I went to school in Tallahassee. My friend convinced me that I should do an amateur night.
What, t-shirt night?
Yeah, they call it amateur night. So now, mind you, I ended up interning for Uncle Luke and I was around strippers all the time. And I was a student of the strippers because strippers in Miami in the urban scene.
Student of the arts.
They make their asses clap. Like, yeah. They do I saw a girl put a whole pink lotion bottle in her vagina and then pull it out. Like they make thousands and thousands of dollars. And
how we're all leaning into your story.
Yeah, because I was, well, you can see I'm blushing because it was just something that I always said I wanted to do, even if I just did once. And it was more about feeling confident in my body and being able, because I could do all of the things that they did, but I would always do it behind closed doors. But mind you, every girl that grew up where I grew up could, because it was part of the music, the culture. It was Two Live Crew. Everybody was doing these weird dances. You would go to a party and girls were doing lap dances. It was nothing out of the ordinary to be able to do these things. So for me, it was like, it was a bucket list thing for me. I was like, I just want to do it one time. I want to get it out of my system. Like I really wanted to be able to say that I did that for me and my friends, because we all had these weird bucket list things.
How old were you at this point?
19.
19.
So, and I was out of my house because I was out of the house when I was 17. So I didn't have to hear but I still, you know, walked around with the religious shame and even though I was doing all kinds of things that my mom would look down on, that was something that I was really just afraid to do. And so anyway, we drive to Palatka.
Oh, Palatka, Florida. Wow.
I've been Palatka, to Palatka. I know Palatka.
Man.
Where and the reason why Palatka is because people would never expect a Puerto Rican girl to be stripping in Palatka, you know.
Why is that?
Because Palatka is all white.
She is probably the only Puerto Rican girl for 100 miles.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
maybe the only person young enough to breathe on their own for 100 miles.
Oh, really?
But Palatka.
I know Palatka.
Yeah. And they had a place called the White Elephant. Where they had an amateur night. And so let me tell you something about Palatka, which in addition to the rush of being able to go and do the stripping, right? The dancing, it was a rush that me and three black girls were in a place where we could die for just being black and brown girls in that place, right? So my friend, the devil, Shantae, who is, she is the person that, you know, was the one that told me I should smoke weed, was the first person that told me I should have sex, was the first person that told me that, you know, I should pursue whatever. She used to say, hey, whatever the fuck you want to do, you do that shit. You don't know when you gonna die. And then she'll give me an example of somebody that we knew that just died. Like, you know, so she boosted me up.
Okay. All right.
So and Jesus, the we laugh about this all the time because they boosted me up so bad that I went in there doing my best impression of what I thought a stripper was, right? And so it was my idea of what to wear, right? So I had on these boots that were these latex boots that were 6 inches, and I couldn't walk in that. I'm 5'10".
Oh, no, so you got to do platform. Were they platform or?
They were not platform, and I did not have the ab strength for the boots, right?
Right, because the platform, it's easier to walk around in. And
so, but I had on a wig. I was told that.
Why'd you wear a wig?
Because I thought people were going to recognize me.
It's unbelievable.
I always thought that my mom would always find out because my mom, listen, I skipped school one day from middle school. The very first time I skipped school, went to smoke weed at my friend Martha's house. Nobody ever, my mom didn't even know Martha. Halfway through us dancing on the couches, my mom is in the yard honking the horn, saying, "I know you're in there. Come on out." I don't know to this day how she found me, but she found me.
But let me ask you this: how far was Palatka? Is that
Palatka
is from your home?
So no, I was in Tallahassee.
So how far is Palatka from Tallahassee?
So it's like 2 hours. It was like,
and you were worried that someone would recognize you
in Florida? Absolutely. I'm worried about things I do in California that my mom will find out. It's just she's in my head. She lives there.
All right.
And so and it's not a, so mind you, Felicia, I got 5 uncles, you know, 3 of them were drug dealers that were running up and down the state of Florida.
Right.
And I know a lot of people knew my family. So
hey, my mom did drugs all up and down Florida.
Oh, maybe. My uncle might have sold it to her. Polk County.
I stripped 4 drugs all up and down Florida. I resonate with this story on so many levels.
So the embarrassing part is not the stripping. The embarrassing part is that you're stripping for a bunch of like truck stop old white men. Mm-hmm. Some of them ain't got teeth in their mouth. They look grimy and dirty. You think, I got this shit. Like, what are they gonna say to me? Right? And I could not connect with the pole. And
what do you mean you couldn't connect with the pole?
I busted my ass. I fell. And it was probably one of the most embarrassing things that ever happened to me because the people that were shaming me, I thought,
doing this so serious.
No, I was embarrassed. I thought that they were beneath me, right? Mm-hmm. And they are looking at me like, bitch, next! Do you see? You talk about Willie Nelson. One of them motherfuckers looked like Willie Nelson and was like, onward, bitch. We thought the exotic Puerto Rican bitch that, and I went up with the most confidence in the world. And mind you, my friends, thank God there was no phones.
I know.
You know, because my
imagine?
Friends, my friends weren't shit. So Shantae is like yelling at me, like, bitch, all this coaching we did, this is in the middle of
She's yelling at you too?
Yeah. While I'm being chastised by the people.
Are you like crawling off on your hands and knees?
Yeah, I couldn't do the shoes anymore. I couldn't do it. It was very humiliating and embarrassing, but it made me feel like I got to do it again. I feel like I owe myself still that moment to get that out of my system. And
do you need a driver?
You'd be the old stripper bitch. Like that. I don't care what they say.
Oh, my God.
But the funny thing is, I went back to Palatka for one of my friends who went to school with me has family there. And I went there for a family dinner. And there was one of her relatives kept saying, I know you. I know I met you before.
How many years later?
It was with Steph. So it was maybe about 2 years later. Uh-huh. I don't think that that person actually knew me, or they might have thought they know me. But I was so in my head about that moment. And I was like, please don't let this be one of the white people who saw me.
No, you've been on TV way more than you've
No, this is way before.
This was way before. Like I had never been on television. But I was like, please don't let this be one of the white people that was at the, you know, at the White Elephant that night. So, and to this day, I know. I was like, no, we never met before.
Wow. I can almost believe that story because I had an experience. I did a Playboy magazine, and the people at Playboy were like, it should be like a funny spread. Like, so, but their idea of funny was like, you're in a bathroom and you're all sexy, but there's a piece of toilet paper on your shoe. Like that kind of shit. And one of the things was I was on a bed. You're so hot that you put the bed on fire. Like, that's what their idea of funny was. So I'm not blessed up here necessarily. So when I was on this beautiful Victorian bed, and they had to put these sandbags up under my back just so I would be able to have boobies, right? But there was a guy, like a stagehand, behind the bed, and so he would have to hide, and then the photographer was on a huge ladder, and they were photographing down, right? So he would have to hide, and then he would pop up, and he would squirt the flame with lighter fluid, and then he would have to go. And so one time he did it, and fucking went poof, right? And I was all like, what the fuck, right? And I fell off the bed, and so the photographer's right here, and I'm completely naked, and I open up my legs so far that it caused a draft in the room, right? I was like, I was so embarrassed. So I understand that when you're trying, because that's such a like primordial thing to be like,
and
know,
let me just
sexy.
Say,
yeah,
I didn't take my bottom off. I only did the top, only went topless. I freaked out. The other thing is that I didn't know when I went. If you've ever been into the bathroom of the stripper bathroom, they got baby wipes everywhere, right? And they're baby wipes in the toilet, and it's because they wipe down because they got to get on the pole naked. And that freaked me out. So I did not want to put my bare vagina on it. I just started thinking of, I can still feel it. Like it smelled, there was this distinct smell in the bathroom that was funky as hell. And I was like, I'm not putting my coochie on that pole with all those other coochies been there.
There was baby wipes in the bathroom?
Yeah. They have them in the bathroom.
That's an interesting detail.
You've never been to the Spearmint Rhino? Like when you go in the bathroom, the strippers use that bathroom. They got baby wipes all over.
I mean, I could see that, but in a way, people would flush them like crazy.
No, they're in the toilet.
Wait a minute.
They're in the trash can.
Spearmint Rhino, White Elephant. That seems like we're just going colors and...
Why, you've never heard
there.
Of Spearmint Rhino?
I think large and Caucasian is a theme in strip club.
Oh, those are, yeah. You've never been to the Spearmint Rhino? All those clubs, yeah. Those clubs all have those kinds of names. And there's a fascination with elephants. And yeah. The Spearmint Rhino is downtown Los Angeles, and it is open until 4 o'clock in the morning.
I've
and
dropped
the women
people off there on Uber.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Many times.
Well, that's a good story to start with, too. What about your thoughts, Michael Evans, over there?
You know what? I'm thinking, well, first of all, you should see the men's room at a strip club.
Why?
No, thank
That's
you.
It's a totally different story.
No. bring a black light.
Yeah. It's like a Krispy Kreme near closing time. My thoughts on the story, kind of like John's, it all just felt real, real sincere and realistic. I don't know, like she was honest about moral hangups. Everything just checks out to me. I guess I got to hear another story, you know?
Yeah, I told you she's going to be the hard one.
Yeah, but to me it sounds like it could be Shantae's story. It could be the devil's story. And you show up. Isn't that the devil's name? Was you said
Shantae would never fall off of a stripper pole. Ever. She can make
she
her ass
She trained for
clap.
That shit. Shantae's like ready.
Good woman.
Now, how did you exactly fall down?
So you know when you get on a stripper pole, it's all abs, right? It's all center. The it's all your
core.
And so
I danced for years. That's my next story. I'll get to it. Go ahead. Okay.
So there is a technique to getting on a pole. And I made the assumption that because I knew how to dance and that I could get down with the rest of them, that I knew how to do that. Mm. I underestimated that is a... Why do you look like that?
Because I never did the pole because I'm not
you
a good dancer.
Did the pole?
I never did the pole.
What did you do?
Were you even a stripper then?
She danced.
I did this.
What
and
a
then
feeling.
They gave me money.
Yeah. the stripper pole didn't come out. Didn't so become had, mainstream.
Yeah, they had stripper poles, but the chicks that did the stripper pole were in shape and on meth.
I know. Ex-firefighters.
It's all core strength.
Yeah, yeah. So but what I kind of roll my eyes about is the first time you're doing it, you're doing pole action. To me, that's...
I didn't connect with the pole is my point.
Right, but you did try to go on the pole.
Yeah, everybody. Or, in Miami, everybody. You go to somebody's house, they have stripper poles in the house. That's not...
Hecklers think they can do stand-up.
Yeah, but the thing is also
that... I don't know about that.
Good point.
And it's true, but no. The reason why... Within in the white stripping community, that is something that just became like the S Factor. Sheila Kelly from
Sheila Kelly
did a book about it, and
she was in the
that
movie.
That shit is something that is ingrained in the urban culture in Miami. And if you go to somebody's house, somebody's mother will jump on a stripper pole, and that is not me. This is beside the story. It's not something out of this world. Mm-hmm.
I'm very suspect of that.
Felicia. Of course, because you ain't never got on the pole. You ain't never been on the stripper pole.
Because I had low self-esteem, and I listened to myself like, you can't fucking get on that stripper pole.
Yeah, Felicia. But I have so many friends who can do a stripper pole, and they're not strippers. Because
yeah, they have the classes now.
But they can't do it like for as long as a stripper could do it, right? Like that's
they
like
could
what
probably
you
do it longer,
have.
I bet.
Nicole, who's an actress in L.A., she can stay on that stripper pole as long as anybody on
They have aerobics classes,
but someone
Mike.
That's doing it to make their living night in, night out has got to have an endurance that that your hobbyist just can't have.
And what year was this?
I'm not going to tell the year because I don't want to date myself.
Okay, fair enough.
Felicia, did you dance on stages with poles and you just didn't use it?
I just was because I am, you know, okay, I stripped in two places. One was a Peppermint Lounge in Colorado Springs, Colorado.
See there, Peppermint.
Peppermint Lounge. There was no poles.
But it's not Peppermint Leopard.
Right. You're right. But right. There was.
But it's spearmint and it's like a...
Hey, Sheila Kelly's movie was The Blue Iguana.
Yeah.
Wow. But there were no poles. They had three stages and one was like literally the size of like a cocktail table. Mm-hmm. And but they had lots of mirrors. So but then when I moved to Los Angeles, I stripped at the airport called the Jet Strip. And there was a pole there. But the chicks that did that were like tiny little chicks a lot of people did the pole. And that was in LA.
But in Miami, if you look up the Rolex, uh-huh. Everybody was on the stripper pole. It's not, and
but that wasn't Miami. That was Palatka or whatever.
Yeah, but that's Florida. It's okay. All when I'm talking about Florida. When I say it, I mean Florida. It's the part of the culture, the dancing culture. The stripper pole is part of the culture. It's not something out of the ordinary.
All right,
and I know you know like
we can agree to disagree.
Yeah, no, it is. And
you'll never dance in Palatka again.
No, never. I don't ever want to even drive through Palatka. But they have and the way that the stage is set up, the people are sitting around like a square. So you feel you are, I don't know if you've done comedy in a round, you're embarrassed on four sides because when I hit the floor, there were people here, and people there. That shit was the utmost embarrassing.
So what move were you actually trying to attempt?
I was just
on
trying
the
to
pole?
Get I was trying to get onto the pole.
Oh,
I never
just
got,
pull yourself up?
Yeah, yeah, and okay. I never did. Because I had the big first of all I had the shoes. I couldn't I just didn't have the action.
Did you practice on a pole before then?
I didn't practice shit. I thought I could just do that shit. I thought I was
hecklers
the hotness.
Think they can do stand up.
Yeah.
Ain't nobody practicing stripping in Miami. They go from the house to the strip club.
The only thing
you
have a
practice
with
at the strip club
is the culture thing, because I know I lived in Sebring, Florida for a year or so, and for a few weeks I was DJing with this guy. this Latin night, mm-hmm. and he was teaching me Puerto Rican, what I had to play for different mm-hmm. ones. And there was no stripper pole. Like, they would get down, mm-hmm. but there was no stripper pole. I mean, it felt, they still had a lot of the, you know, the dances they would do and stuff, not yeah. necessarily as, you know, get down freaky.
Right.
Well, you know what I mean?
They, yeah. they probably couldn't afford it. Sebring, Florida? Are you serious?
I've been to Sebring. It's not far from Palatka. It's not far from Palatka.
They probably.
Right. No, it's central North Florida.
They probably shared a stripper pole.
All right, any comments from online?
Dank Abbott and Jason Marino are leaning towards the story being true, and so is Melody Martinez, who's playing along again, said that starting a story proclaiming faith and sin, this has to be true. Daniel says that she's lying, and he was saying kind of because she said three black friends, then she said three drug dealers, and it felt like she was kind of picking details from other parts of her story.
I actually have three drug dealers in my family, and there are three black friends that I had.
Are you from Georgia?
No, I'm from Central Florida, actually.
Central Florida.
About an hour south of Palatka.
Okay. Yeah. See, I was trying to guess. My people are from Virginia, but I have a lot of people in Florida, too.
All right, well, let's move. Oh, go
real
ahead.
Quick, yeah. Ryan wants pics of this when it's all over, Ida, of your stripping. So,
good luck with that. Yeah. Anyway, go ahead, John, your second story.
Oh, my second story. Okay, well, a couple of years back, my brother was working sort of as a volunteer. Like a Peace Corps kind of thing, in South America, in Peru. Not in Lima, but
is he still religious?
He is not. He's a therapist now.
He went down to there to do therapy?
No, he went down there to do like a Peace Corps-style program, but with the Jesuits.
Jesuits?
Yeah. And he went to do like
anything. Way over Jessica's head.
It was like a volunteer corps, but instead of the Peace Corps, it was the Jesuits. And it was 2 years he spent in a small town in the desert in Peru doing social work with homeless street kids who worked for a living. He you know, kids who shine shoes or carry water at cemeteries. And he spent 2 years of his life down there. And I went down to visit him for a few days. And my girlfriend came too, and we spent a few days with him. And they lived in real poverty. You know, like you had to carry a bucket of water to flush the toilet mm-hmm. where he was. And he kept saying all week, like, we'd follow him along on his life and see what his life was like. And my Spanish is really bad, mi español es muy feo. And he kept telling us the whole time that, you know, he had seen UFOs since he'd been there. And now I'm getting the look.
Was he getting into peyote?
No. No, it was the church was sponsoring him. He eventually went to like a Buddhist university to Naropa, so he became emptier than now.
You said the church was sponsoring him.
The church was sponsoring this. Yeah, it was.
But he wasn't religious. But he was with the Jezebels.
He was still religious then. He was
the Jezebels.
The Jesuits are actually one of the least dickish denominations. Okay. Pope Francis is a Jesuit. So my brother said, you know, I've been up to the mountains and I've seen these lights, and you want to go sometime. While you're here. And I was like, yeah, I want to go. And he said he had like talked to all these people in Peru and like academics and people who talked about, oh, he's seen the lights. And so I said, yeah, well, I want to go. I want to see UFOs. And we drove up this side of a mountain, complete dark, no lights, no street lights, no nothing, terrifying. And we got to the top, and this is the Andes Mountains in a town called Tacna, Peru. And we sat on the top of the mountain, my brother, my girlfriend, and me, who is now my wife, and we looked up at the night sky, and I saw eventually lights in the distance move and change color and change speed and change direction in ways I cannot explain.
Did you tell the story to us when we were on your show in New
York?
Yeah,
I know. I'm like, this story sounds super familiar.
Really? I mean, well, I went on YouTube and I saw videos for it that were exactly like what I saw.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it is on Ancient Aliens, too. A lot of Peru stuff.
This was in Peru. This happened in Peru, not in Lima, but in the desert, in Tacna, Peru.
There is no rhythm or rhyme for what she knows or does not know. You know what I mean? Like, so.
This was near a military base, and at first I thought I was looking at helicopters. And uh-huh. then I realized, no, those aren't helicopters. Those are, I can't explain what those are. And it was Rick Overton, our friend, who said, oh, because Rick knows these things. Right. You got to look at this video on YouTube. And I looked at it, and sure enough, it was exactly the kind of lights I saw in the sky.
And what did you feel when you were looking at those lights? Did you have fear? Were you like, oh,
no fear? No, no. I felt like, oh, we'll never know. We'll never know what's going on. And if the government knows, we'll really never know what's going on.
And how long did those lights last?
Some would just appear and disappear. Some would change speed and direction and color. And they looked like little helicopters in the distance until they would do things that helicopters couldn't do. It wasn't anything glamorous, close encounters, just lights in the sky that I couldn't explain. And it was ultimately comforting because I thought, all right, I'm never going to know. So I'm not going to worry about whether knowing if it's for real or not. And it was very comforting, and it was very spiritual, like Willie Nelson. These are I'm giving you two things that guys in Oklahoma claim happened to them. They see spaceships and get high with Willie Nelson. And
That's a good, the question is, like, when you saw something like that, did that threaten your spirituality or threaten what how you'd been raised, or did it crumble any, like, because some people who are very religious, when you start talking about that, they fucking melt down.
That's fundamentalism. That's cult. That's like, you know, that's like only my side is the only truth. And that's, you know, the fundamentalist Christians, fundamentalist Muslims, fundamentalist Jews.
Right.
They're the ones with the sex hangups and the violence problems and all that. No, for me, you know, I just was like, oh, this is very comforting because it's so much more vast than we can ever understand. And so I nothing spectacular, just lights in the distance that I can't explain.
Yeah.
At first I thought were helicopters, and then I kept watching and saw
them. Isn't that funny? Yeah, for me, this feels almost this... conversation feels religious because Ida's over here just like
I believe in it, and not and my by the way my brother didn't say
Ida's been to Palatka because she's seen aliens
and like some people say it's not from outer space, some people say that it's interdimensional or it's us in the future and how we return to do stuff, like not necessarily from outer space but could be from another dimension or the future. Or
have you ever seen anything like that since or before then, or anything that you felt was on that kind of level of that is some crazy shit?
Not on that level with like, you know, I had a ghost story once, but I mean, Shirley MacLaine once called me. This is a true, this is all true. Everything I'm saying in every story is true. Shirley MacLaine called me one time because she liked me on Bill Maher, and she told me a story that she once went to a party in Hollywood on Mulholland, and that Ronald and Nancy Reagan came, long before he was president, and that they said that they had seen a UFO over Mulholland on their way to the party, and they swore it was true, and then they never mentioned it in public. But Shirley MacLaine said to me that the Reagans swore they had seen a UFO. And that was the only kind of like thing that I ever had that was like, you know, a callback to that experience.
Have you ever seen a UFO before, Ida? Or something you couldn't explain?
Of course, yeah. I have seen all kinds of things that are inexplicable, and people have judged me for it. You know, I have a friend who lived in West Hollywood, and her apartment, I kept seeing this little boy, and I told her I'm never coming here again. I keep seeing this little boy, and I left her house.
Was he riding a big wheel down the hall?
No, he had he had like the leg braces.
Oh wow!
And I could see that he was in distress. But I left up her place, and she kept saying, "You're crazy, you're crazy." 2 years later, I ran into her because we had lost touch. She moved to Chicago, and I was like, "You still live in the same place?" She's like, "Hell no! I saw that fucking little boy you kept talking about."
Whoa!
Oh, really?
Yeah. And when I was little, I used to tell my mom all the time that I used to say I miss my grandpa rocking me in the rocking chair, and she would always look at me like I was weird, but never would say anything. And when I got older, she was like, Ida, where did you get this grandpa? What did your grandpa look like? And I described him. I said, he looks like me. He just had hair. He had braids. He had lighter eyes. And he was tall. He used to rock me in the rocking chair. And he died before I was born.
Oh, wow.
That's creepy.
So they used to call
That's
me
much better than my story.
Creepy. Yeah.
No, it's a pretty good story. But I do feel very familiar to that story. Like maybe he did. But then
told us that one.
But here's the thing.
Did he do it as a lie? Because many people were calling in.
Yeah, I can't remember if it was the truth or I can't remember if it was the truth or
not. You're saying I told you that story before?
Yes.
You said a story like
that. Don't give it up.
But but I cannot remember if it was a truth or a lie, because I think we were kind of playing the game a little bit.
People were calling in, and then he was like, well, I'll give you one, you guess.
Yeah, I can't remember now. Huh.
Don't give it up. Just,
no, I don't.
We
think
don't
she
remember.
Yeah, I don't think
but
she
I just
remembers.
Know that we've heard
no, I'm
it.
Saying to John because
yeah, don't give know, it up though. Don't give it up.
Doesn't John's second story sound like something he maybe just thinks happened sometimes in the middle of his first story? This just sounds like a real wrecked ass time. With
it really no, what it really happened, but I don't claim that I saw aliens or spaceships.
Were you on drugs? Completely sober.
But it's funny you say that, Michael, because Jason Marino had a similar thought. He said that his uncle has an acid story just like that.
No, no alcohol, no drugs, no nothing.
He also said that it would be funny if you thought the story was true, but that your brother had been lying to you all along, and there was just somebody with flashlights off in the distance, and they were lying to you.
That could not have been faked.
Wow. All right. We'll move on to Ida's second story.
So I have a friend, his name is Charlie Mack, and
that doesn't sound Charlie suspicious.
Mac. No.
Charlie, what's Mac. A good name with Charlie Mack.
So Charlie Mack was very enamored with me, when I moved to LA.
Charlie Mack's only exists in gay porn. I'm sorry.
And he said to me, he said, Ida, what are some of the things that you want to do? Like, I want to make one of your dreams come true. And I said to him, I want to meet Muhammad Ali. And he said,
why did you want to meet Muhammad Ali?
Because he's my hero.
Jessica.
I mean, but of all the people.
Yeah, but you know, that's a big one.
Who cooler than meet the Muhammad Ali?
He's like a citizen of my heroes were Muhammad Ali and Bruce Lee when I was little.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I loved those
guys. I
shared
a birthday with Jackie Chan.
Nice. If I wasn't a comic, I'd call you a racist. But I am true to my comedy brethren. So I said, hey, I want to meet Muhammad Ali. And I went about my business. One day I was leaving church with my daughter and my son. I was at Faithful Central Church. And Charlie Mack called me and said, hey, come meet me down in Beverly Hills. I want to show you something. So I meet him in Beverly Hills. We go to the Beverly Hilton Hotel and we walk up, knocked on the door, and Muhammad Ali opened the door. And I was like freaked out. My kids didn't know who Muhammad Ali was. They were both like, who's this guy?
How old were they?
Omar was about 8 and Akela was about 4, right. I think. So 4 and 8, maybe.
And was that this guy's real last name was Mac?
Charlie Mack.
That was his real last name?
That's his name.
And he's acting as a Mac?
Was he like a
no
manager?
I mean, that's pretty Mac Daddy moved. You're like, what do you want? And then he gets it.
No, he just knew me.
Oh, it's like a smooth guy.
He Mac's just knew I was a hardworking single mom with these two kids. And I don't take stuff from people. Like, people offer me stuff and I come from the hood. Everything comes with a price. So, and then later I find out the 48 laws of power, that's one of the laws of power. So maybe the hood isn't wrong. So I was like, I'm not taking anything. So he was like, I want to do something for you. I want to do something nice, very thoughtful. So I go and I meet, Muhammad Ali. We go into the hotel room. We start having conversation. You know, he was, his motor skills were not with him anymore, but his mind and his humor was. We sat down and had a conversation. He proposed to me in a very Muhammad Ali-like way. He was like, tell me what I mean to you. And I said, you changed my life. And he said, well, if I change your life, then won't you be my wife? That was a very Muhammad Ali thing to say. Anyway, we sat down. <I know. laughs> He shared baklava with me. He was very generous. His wife was shopping. Lonnie went out shopping because she was in Beverly Hills. She would come in and check in. I met his son and I met two of his daughters.
Did you meet May May?
No, May May was not. No, May May was not there.
How long ago was this?
May May was there.
Like
it was before
years
he
here?
Died.
20 years ago?
Before he died? Well, write that down.
It was a few years. It must have been
like 18 years ago?
Yeah.
So his motor skills were still, you said he answered the door?
Yeah, he opened the door.
Like he was still walking?
Yeah, he was still walking. He wasn't in the wheelchair yet.
Uh-huh. What did you call him?
Was shaking.
Like when you referred Champ. To him personally. Champ. I was going to say, you call him Champ?
Yeah.
That's fucking great.
Yeah. Dank Abbott says, if this is true, he was just trying to get up in them guts.
Jesus Christ.
Lovely.
Nice. Don't shoot me. I'm just a messenger.
But he shared this baklava with me, told me a funny story. He said, you know, they wrote more jokes about me than Jesus. And I said to him, Oprah said that that's not true on her show. And he said, if I'd have been a white man, she wouldn't have said that. So I thought that was funny because it was in his style of humor. But yeah, we got to spend the day with him. It was a few hours, and it was one of the most important moments of my life.
Jason Marino doesn't know if it's just the tone of her voice, but he believes everything you say.
Oh. I said it was going to be hard.
I was going to say, dude, she has that effect on me constantly. If you know anything about like her act or like her back, she could tell like the toughest ass story and you'd just be like, yeah, I bet she did all that.
Yeah.
You know what
I
mean? Like, why would you expect anything different?
I tend to believe that story. Because personally, that fucking first story is a complete fucking lie. But I believe that story because he used to come here to Comedy Store all the time because Maymay, his daughter, was doing comedy at the time, and he was a very kind gentleman, and people swarmed around him, and he was very generous with his time, even though he was, you know, not 100%, but he was very generous. So I completely kind of sort of believe that story. What are your thoughts on that story, John Fugelsang?
I believe everything everyone said here today.
Okay. When I'm home, I don't want to run errands or have to figure out a meal plan, especially because I have kids. That's why Blue Apron is a great solution. Their chef-designed recipes are easy to follow and give you a balanced, delicious meal. Blue Apron is a quick and easy way to make high-quality meals that everyone can enjoy. Use promo code LIARS to get $30 off your first order. Blue Apron, take back dinner.
Real quick, Ryan said earlier that during Ida's stories, John would look into the camera so as to say maybe he doesn't believe something or maybe he does. He's corroborating.
They've been hilarious looks.
Yeah. Well, it is interesting having been on John's show a couple of times. Like, you're always having to be super busy, and to sit there and watch you just kind of take your turn is a very interesting thing to take the back seat a little bit.
It's delightful.
So,
I'm extremely medicated, as I said, so it's moving kind of slow.
I asked the audience, what do you guys think that he's thinking when he does that? And Kia said, well, he's crafting his lies, obviously.
Yeah.
And
I'm a white man. It's all lies. Nothing but. Never trust white pink devil.
So for John's first story, he was a young VJ and sent to work at Farm Aid in the 90s, where he got to interview Willie Nelson on his trailer. He said trailer,
tour bus.
Same trailer he had been arrested in, and old Shotgun Willie asked him to stick around. So they hotboxed the hell out of that trailer, quote unquote. Then Willie hugged the devil out of him and healed John's middle school traumas. I thought it was strange that he called the bus the trailer like three or four times.
Yeah, that is weird. That is weird.
I didn't even realize I did. I thought they were interchangeable. Because you know why? Because I live here and we're used to being in trailers. When we go to work. So.
Story two.
Such a fucking liar.
I don't know. I don't know else why I would say it. It was a tour bus, the famous tour bus that Aida mentioned.
Mm. Story two. His brother was working as a Peace Corps worker in Peru with homeless street kids.
It wasn't Peace Corps, but it was a church, but yeah.
Similar. And he had to carry a bucket of water to flush his toilet, and John kept up with him during all this. One day, he said he saw some UFOs up in the mountains, so he invited John to come see him with him. They drive up the side of the mountain in the pitch black Andes Mountains, where he sees lights off into the distance that looked very UFO-like helicopter things. And that was pretty much it. And y'all thought y'all might have heard that story on his show.
Yeah, but I can't. I did. I think we have heard that story before, but I don't remember.
All those
remember.
Ancient alien stories roll in Peru, though.
I don't remember the ending. Whether you were lying or not when you told us that story.
Are you
maybe?
Sure I told you that story?
You did.
Yeah, I think so, because as you were saying it, I was like, fuck, this sounds really familiar.
And we wouldn't both be like that if it was.
But the question is, was it a lie or not a lie?
I think it's the truth.
Yeah. I think it's kind of the truth, too, because if you're in a bus trailer, you're in a trailer with Willie Nelson with five other guys, and you guys are passing around.
There's multiple.
What? You said five?
There were multiple clay pipes. I don't know.
Right, like five each.
There was five guys. I don't know how many pipes there were.
Okay.
I didn't count.
I think that first story is just a lie. I think I think part of it's true, but I think go ahead, Matt.
I think you're on the right track. I think that the reason that the second one could be true is because there's not, he wouldn't have to, I don't know. He could just, he's telling us, he made sure to tell us, I think I saw lights. I don't know how to explain what I saw. I just saw something.
I don't claim I saw anything specifically extraterrestrial.
Right. But the whole crux of that story would be like,
why do we all use crux now?
Sorry, the clinker here. Hey, the long and veiny of it is that the story would be exciting because it's like, I went on this weird Peruvian and I saw maybe alien. Like, he made it super safe. He made sure to cover his base by saying, I'm not claiming I saw anything fantastic out there.
Well, then it's also like, if we heard that story before, it would
be. But in what context was he lying? Were y'all doing the podcast on his show?
We were on
basically?
His show, and I think we were just talking about the podcast, and then we simply did a couple of stories.
Yeah.
And I think that was the story you told. But what gets me then is, even though we don't remember the ending, like, why? It must be true, because why would he just tell the same story and
that,
remember
or what
it?
If he just said that's like a lie and he was like, oh yeah, that's a good lie I tell.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And it didn't have a lot of details on that second story.
Man, do that.
Oh, I can give you more details if you want.
Oh yeah, okay.
Ask any questions. What do you want to know?
So how many lights altogether did you see?
I don't remember.
Okay.
There was someone had died on the trail up. There was like a cross in the road where someone had died on the trail driving up.
In Peru?
Yeah.
They were Christians in Peru?
In South America?
I don't know.
Christian thing.
Well, yeah, but that's
Trump
usually like
president.
You're trying
yes,
to win
they,
people
yes,
to be Christians.
South of our border is predominantly
you ain't
Christian.
Wrong. They have a lot of them. And then they have a lot of them. And then a whole bunch of white people go over there to make sure that the ones that aren't Christian
get back in
Christian.
Yes. And that's not what my brother was doing, in fairness. No, no. He wasn't a proselytizer. He was there to, you know, help poor people.
What do you think, Ida? Which one do you think is the lie?
The Willie Nelson.
Yeah, I think the Willie Nelson.
Yeah, the
thing
second
is a story is
true.
Yeah,
the second story is true.
And I think you're a pretty in control person, even when you're completely stoned. So I think that you wouldn't have been blabbing your mouth at Willie Nelson.
But he does
like
have
that.
Anxiety, doesn't he?
That's a polite term.
Assuming, I'm sorry.
It's a polite term for what I have, yes.
Well, let's take a vote. Michael, what do you think?
I think that second story is true.
I do too.
Yep.
Yeah.
And first one's a
Austin?
Lie.
Yeah, same. Smoking weed with Willie, that's just like a fantasy of everybody. You might have even probably done it, but something was a little off so that you could make that your lie.
Yeah.
What's the consensus online?
It seems like everybody's kind of pretty much with us, except for
we'll give that one more try, Jess. Or?
What about the Jezebel's online?
what's the crux of their commentary?
Melody Martinez actually says both second stories are lies. The second story, Dan Cabot says the second story is how butt stuff starts. I don't know if that's true. Jason Marino says John's first true, second lie. So he's opposite of us, actually, thinks that the Willie Nelson thing is true. I might change mine because I kind of think that the Willie Nelson thing is true, too.
You think it is a simple.
Well, I'm trying to think of what I think is the interchangeable detail.
I'm not going to say anything.
My brain is already moving on to anxiety about Ida's story.
Yeah, yeah. All right. So which story is a lie?
The Willie Nelson story has less truth to it. And if I'd remembered that I told you the UFO I already thought the UFO story was too absurd to be fake. And then
right.
if I totally forgot that I had told it to you when we played this game. Such a bad choice. The Willie Nelson story, about half of it's true and the fun half is completely fake. I really was on the
a white elephant never forgets.
And I really was a bus, not a trailer, but I really was on it, and I had to ask Willie to move the weed out of our shot.
Oh, really? Okay, there you go.
Well, very good.
All right. So let's move on to the recap of Ida's.
I thought I
stories.
Sold the fake story pretty well. My real story was too outlandish to be fake.
Well, it's
that was a great it was a great way to play the game, but we just heard that story.
Yeah, and what That's gets right. me is, when you were like, I was so baked, and it's like five little bowls between six people moving around.
No, there were multiple pipes.
I would have been baked.
No, I know, but that's five.
I still can't get the smell out of my clothes.
Pipes moving around, and then five.
I think if you would have said that you got high with, I don't know.
I made it up because I got high with a much more famous music star that I could
was
never...
Was it Snoop Dogg?
No, I'm saying, but if you would have said...
Because somebody online said something about you smoking with Snoop Dogg, and I don't know if they were making
a joke.
No,
I think I know who it is, but I'm not going to say it.
Smoking with Snoop Dogg is like smoking with Willie Nelson. Everybody's
yeah.
done
yeah,
it.
That's
but
yeah,
I, like,
that's
I have it. Someone much, much, much more famous that I can never say that I just swapped it out with Willie, because I really was on his bus, and I thought, that's plausible.
Right. Oh, I'm going
to
ask
and me,
you that
And me talking
afterwards.
Too much is plausible, yeah, too. Yeah. So.
All right, let's move on to Ida's recap.
This sucks. I want to know who it was.
Merle Haggard.
We'll tell you later.
Story one, she lived
no,
in...
No, but I saw Merle in Vegas, and I was very high.
Yeah, he's a big smoker. Story one, she lived in Miami as a kid, and Uncle Luke was a DJ in middle school where she learned to pop that coochie. She was a Seventh-day Adventist and was obsessed with strippers, so one day she goes up to Tallahassee and wants to participate in an amateur strip contest. So her, the devil, and two other girls go to Podunk, Palatka, Florida. Florida, put on some wigs and pop that coochie at a little hole in the wall called the White Elephant. But she busted her ass and made a fool of herself. Go Gators.
I want you to send me that because I'm going to pitch that.
I love
that.
Yeah, I was going to say hot recap. Dog.
I remember that song, Pop the Coochie on the Left Hand Side.
Yeah. When it comes to Florida stories, I can tell them.
Left hand side.
Hey, this is why the live viewers don't like my recaps. Cool it down. Buddy.
Sorry. Okay. Story two, she has a friend named Charlie Mack that is enamored with her and wanted to make a dream come true for her, and all she wanted was to meet Muhammad Ali. So old Charles lined it up in Beverly Hills, and she gets to meet the artist formerly known as Cassius in his house.
I believe number two.
I believe number two. Number one is just some bullshit. You are so scared with the first time you strip. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you are surrounded by professional strippers since you were seven. I don't care what the story is. When you first time do it, no one in their right mind says, even if they, from not practicing on the pole, I'm going to take on that pole.
I completely disagree. Couldn't disagree more. And I'll tell you, if you research strip culture in Miami, it is not something, it's out of the ordinary for people who, it's part of our culture. Atlanta, Miami, Houston.
You and Palatka
now.
In
the urban. Yeah. That's why you're, especially when you go to Palatka, because you're like,
we don't have clear heels in Palatka.
I will dust every single white girl in here because I can dance naturally. I don't need to be coached to be a stripper. It's not something out of the ordinary.
Were you doing any drugs or drinking?
I know.
This is beside the story. This is beside the story. Completely disagree with you. Completely disagree.
She's fighting.
It's fun to believe.
Were you doing any drugs or like drinking so you could get the
I've never done drugs.
What was the song you did it to? What was the song?
It was called Irk and Jerk.
Oh, really?
Irk and Jerk. You got me doing it, baby. Yeah. Yeah. You can't forget the song that you fell to. It's traumatic.
God damn it.
Irk and Jerk. Google it. See if that's a result.
I believe the
second
story.
You got me doing it,
baby. I just watched you on Robert Kelly's podcast.
Ida is the better liar.
And it helped me none in this.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
It helped me none. I thought I was going to get some more insight on her, and I don't fucking know. You know her better. You'd think she wouldn't pop that coochie.
I think she would try to do it. That part I don't have a problem with. I can't imagine, like I said, someone the first time stripping going to try the pole because you, and especially since she couldn't walk on her shoes.
She was 19 though.
Yeah.
When you got that false, I don't know if I'm saying this right, bravado or whatever.
Bravado.
That was what Muhammad Ali was having in the hotel room.
No, I don't.
Yeah, and you think you could do anything.
No, I mean, we're obviously completely different people, but I think that first story is just horseshit. I think that happened to your friend.
You're
and
talking
to
somebody who did stand-up comedy without ever doing an open mic and going to the Laugh Factory and doing stand-up in front of a bunch of people that... Without ever thinking that I couldn't do it, not knowing what a premise was, not knowing whether.
Did you do your whole set crowd work?
Absolutely.
Oh, you did? I was going to say, shut the fuck up.
I didn't know a joke. Absolutely. Really? I didn't know what the fuck. Yeah. Okay. Ask Pookie Wigginton. Yeah. He'll tell you.
But you were older too, though, not 19.
Yeah, I became more fearful as I became older. Uh-huh. When I was younger, I was fearless. I could do anything. You couldn't tell me I couldn't do shit.
Well, did you say how you found out about a open stripper mic in Palatka all the way when you were in Tallahassee?
In the newspaper. All of the...
Who books that?
Because that's like a 2-hour... I mean, that's not like a hop, skip, and a jump. down the road.
Yeah,
really.
But from that part, no. You from Gainesville, you know that's everything is a 2-hour stretch. Everything that happens in those areas. I used to shop at the Avenues Mall in Jacksonville, and I went to school at Tallahassee.
If this story was true, she wouldn't be trying so hard to convince you.
It does feel like you're protesting too much.
No, I just disagree with your... I'm not fighting for the story. I just disagree with your...
Your logic.
Your logic about strippers. Yeah. I just think... That's not true at all.
So does everybody think that Ida's first story is a lie?
I think it's a lie. What do people online say?
I think they're kind of with us. Everybody
I believe
so.
Everything Ida says. I'm like a Trump supporter for her. No! I believe everything she says.
Trump 2020.
Dank and Melody both say first true. They were both wrong on John's stories, though. Uh-huh. So keep that in mind.
Uh-huh.
Jason Marino said she's competitive, selling both stories very hard. Dank says, again, if it happened in Florida, it's got to be true, which that's the only reason. I mean, it does sound like a very
enough,
Florida story,
enough,
so that's
enough.
Why I'm going to say it happened to somebody else, yeah, but it's still a lie.
Gutsy call.
Imagine the Muhammad Ali one's not true. Those are interestingly obscure creative details to come up with. Like, they're just mundane enough to feel real, but just incredible.
Oh, that would be creepy almost.
Yeah, almost creepy details if she invented them.
I'm an amazing writer, though.
I believe that. Hey, Ida, I believe everything you fucking said. You could tell me
the
you
baby
flew here on a broom.
Baby wipes, great detail.
But see, but I did it way before then. I don't have a recollection of baby wipes or any of that
kind
of stuff.
Where the hell did you strip?
By the airport.
She didn't have poles.
Everybody knows about the baby wipes. They wipe their coochies off.
They actually dip the girls in vats of hand sanitizer by the airport.
Her
name was Carrie.
It's a harness system they have.
Did your kids go in the room when you met Muhammad Ali?
They did.
They did. And your 8-year-old son didn't know who Muhammad Ali was? Did you explain it to him as you were going to go meet Muhammad Ali?
I did.
Yeah, I'm going to still stick with the first story. It's a lie.
I think everybody's pretty much on the same page.
No, I'm going to say the first story's true and the second's a lie.
Okay.
Fuck.
All right.
Michael?
I think that she's a very determined woman. She left home at 17, didn't go back. She's made her way here. Like she said, she went up on stage with never doing stand-up.
I believe both stories, because both stories are consistent with her character. She wants something that is ridiculous to want, and she goes for it.
Yep.
My stories are about, you know, Oklahoma redneck fantasies. So
Let's not forget the Charlie Mack detail. That was kind of a weird...
Yeah,
Mack is too ridiculous to be fake.
Let me ask you this. Did the stripper thing happen after you had... Because I know you had your first...
I already had my baby.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, first story is a lie. So we're going to go ahead and ask you.
So wait, Michael, what'd you vote?
So you thought
I don't know. I like running wherever Felicia's going.
That first is a lie.
Yeah, I'm going to go
first. I think it makes sense. Maybe
lie.
After the baby, she need a little, you know, Ida got her groove back.
You know, it's not that I'm... It's not that I'm confident the first is a lie. It's that I'm confident the second one's true. It felt... She was glowing when she told it. She's so proud of that shit. And if it wasn't true, you're a sick fuck of a good liar.
Yeah, really.
You're supremely confident.
And the whole thing in the beginning of the first story, like, this is about shame and about this. And that just seems like you would start your lie with all this information that you don't really need to. So I'm going to still stick with the first story is a lie. Ida, which story is the lie?
The first story.
I knew it.
Okay.
I knew it.
I stand by the jumping on the stripper pole. It is part of the culture. And when I went to the Spearmint Rhino, there were baby wipes everywhere.
Detail.
Which was fucking disgusting. And that's what they told me. I was doing research to interview, to do a documentary on strippers. And they said, no, I went and interviewed and I talked to Asia at the Spearmint Rhino. And she said, oh, yeah, the baby wipes that we're supposed to wipe down before we hit the pole.
I have a joke that you have to wipe down your pole each and every time.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Did you make up the white elephant?
No, that's a real... That
place
was a real
Palatka.
Story. Yeah, in the
so
in Central Florida.
Was that a story part of someone else's story? Like, how did you come up on that story?
No, I made it up. It was
100%
It was me
up?
On the runway. I fell on the runway. Me modeling, not stripping.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and I did have my baby. And right. I did jump on the runway without ever knowing anything about modeling and believe that I could do
that
it on
smart.
Some 6-inch shoes.
The runway.
And I did fall.
The runway is what they called the stage at Felicia's Club too.
That's true.
kind of true.
For sure. Said, did you hear earlier your name was Carry On and you walked the runway?
Right.
Wow, that I knew it was bullshit when you were all like, yeah, everyone can just get on the pole. No, bitch. There's no one getting on the pole like that the first time without practicing.
Yes. You don't, Felicia, it is a cultural thing. I'm telling you, you are completely wrong.
No, I do believe black girls it's a and brown girls, thing.
They jump on the pole and it is. That's how they learn. Like, you have to go to the Rolex. You have to go to the...
Maybe the third time you dance and you're like, oh, try the pool now, but not the first time.
Wrong. Okay. I'm trying
this
to tell you.
A brand new podcast that being born right now.
Listen, people...
Holes and holes. Lisa and Ida.
People practice lap dances at the club. It's not even... That's just part of the... I'm telling you, it started in Miami. It spread to Atlanta. It's Houston. It's... Those girls, they are relentless, they're fearless, and they...
I'd say a lot of their regular dancing is probably, a lot of it is more freaky than a stripper would give you.
Mm. Yeah. Jason Marino says, look at Ida, still fighting for it.
I know. What is up with that, Jason?
Because I actually went to the strip club with my friend who did the strip, who jumped on the pole for the first time without ever being on a pole. And actually was able to, she was proficient. She wasn't like great, but she got on that pole. She was a track star and she jumped on that pole and she just ripped. We were like, what the fuck? It's not, it's just very common in Miami.
It got me out of the Navy.
That pop the coochie shit was real.
I bet if you could do a pull up in high school, you're like, I could get on the pole.
Yeah, maybe.
I could not. So
you guys have been great guests. Thank you so much for spending some of your time and sharing it with us. Where can people find you? What would you like to sell or tell people about that they can go look up?
Well, I'm going to do amateur night at the Spearmint in 2 weeks because I got to get this off my bucket list.
I would love to go see that, by the way.
My friends actually show on there.
Yeah. My friends rented out a club for me for my birthday some years ago. So and they were like, go, do it. And I still, I danced, but I didn't get naked. I got partially naked, but I didn't get
naked. Did you get on that pole?
Nah, I didn't. There was no pole in it because the club that they rented was in Hollywood.
Oh, okay.
You can find me at FunnyIda, AIDA.com, at FunnyIda on Instagram. And on Twitter, and I will be performing at Magoobies on the weekend of Thanksgiving, that Friday and Saturday, 4 shows in Maryland Timonium. So come check me out.
Nice.
Great. What about you, John?
At John Fugelsang on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook. And I do a show every night on Sirius XM Progress that three of you, all the females in this room, are going to be dragged off to tonight, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I've chloroformed you all.
Oh, thank
and
you.
Then johnfugelsang.com, cool online store. And I'm going to be starting a tour with Lewis Black and Alan Zweibel called The Magnificent Bastards. And it's sit down comedy. We come on stage with famous friends and tell stories. No stand up. And that's going to launch Valentine's Day on Long Island, New York.
Oh, wonderful.
Coming soon near you.
You know, John actually gave me one of the most special moments of my life because you...
She has a big crush on him.
Oh, I have such a crush on her. You don't even
I have
know.
A crush on I have a crush on both
Aida.
Of these
I have
people.
A crush on you, Jess.
Yo, I got a crush on you, John. Does anyone have a crush on me?
I mean, yeah, absolutely. Rock hard over
Gingers
here.
Aren't real people.
No, I have a deep crush on you.
Wow!
You look like the cutest guy in the entire militia. I'm so serious.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
We're in a bunker, so I feel like I should say
all right,
that.
Cool. I'm switching to Ida. All right.
But I just wanted to say, like, because of knowing you two, that it's really enriched my life as a person, just even in understanding politics and all that kind of stuff. But the night that you were with Stephanie Miller and you guys were at the Saban Theater with Margaret Cho and Ted Lieu showed up
and Martin Sheen.
And Martin Sheen and Adam Schiff.
And Rob Reiner.
And Rob Reiner. It was such a cool night. And to see how everyone was hanging out and just talking, to see TV, how Adam Schiff is totally doing this whole thing now is such a great moment that I got to share that.
Oh, I'm honored you came.
Yeah, it was really a cool thing.
All and I'm trying to do is impress you. So,
you've done your job. What about you, Austin? Where can people find you?
Well, not to take away from that, but Jason Marino was wondering, Ida, if you could say they jump on the pole one time slowly really into the camera for him.
They jump on the pole.
He's going to love that.
Yeah, he's going to take that home.
Dirtier when she says it in Spanish.
Oh, I never.
Say it slowly in Espanol, please.
Se tiran al palo.
Oh!
That is the loving tongue right there.
I'm at the Austin Walker across the board
on
everything.
He's blushing. Look, he's blushing.
Yeah, young, not all. Don't look under the table right now.
Like I'm getting whiter with each moment.
Yeah.
Help a young filmmaker and actor out. Help me fund my short film at the Austin Walker. You'll find the link there. Be here next Saturday. It's a week from this Saturday, November 30th, the Liars Club at the Belly Room of the World Famous Comedy Store. Annie Letterman, Neil Brennan, Nick Novicki, Matt Devlin. Probably more to come.
Yeah, more
Jess
to come.
Wellington, Michael Evans. They're going to be there. Felicia and I will not. Go Gators, beat FSU.
All right. And what about you, Michael Evans?
Just high five Michael on Instagram. Check out my shit. I post dates all the time. I'm around town all the time. Come see me.
Yeah, and you're at the Improv quite a bit lately. Good for you on that.
Oh, and are we back here tomorrow?
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
So we'll see y'all again tomorrow.
Yeah. See you guys tomorrow.
And you can follow me at Felicia Michaels all across the board. Do me a big favor. If you have Amazon Prime, please go check out my documentary called Pervs and or my comedy special called The Whole Story. You were there that night when I taped that. Yeah. And but other than that, that's all I got to offer. Jessica?
Follow me at Jess Wellington 2 on everything. Again, just follow us on YouTube, The Liars Club, and our show at the Comedy Store is the most important, and you have been lied to.
I'm not telling that one.
Disney believe you. Well, the real liar, please stand up.
She's totally serious.
And you have been lied to.